The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Bo, in Perek Yud Aleph Posuk Ches. Moshe is told by Hashem to approach Pare and to give him warnings, dealing here in the Makis, 10 plagues. Actually, the first 9 have already been executed. And there's the discussion if Pare should let the people go and what should he give them and so forth. And Parai loses his temper, and Moshe loses his temper. Before it states, "Vayemale Parai lech me'olai yishomeloch lecho al teisav reis panai ki biyem reis ko panai tomus." Parai said, "Go out from me and watch yourself. When you come to see me again, you'll die." Moshe became angry. He said, "Kein dibalta la'isi ve'dereis panecho. This is true, I will not see you again." And then Moshe tells him, "Vayema Moshe ke'emar Hashem." This is what Hashem said, "Kachatzeis ha'layla ne'yetze b'seich Mitzrayim. At midnight I will come through Egypt. U'meis kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim. And every firstborn will be killed. Mibachor para yeshiv al kiso ad bechor shivcho asher achay arachoyim, from the firstborn of Pare until the firstborn of the maidservant. And there will be a great outcry that there were never anything of the liking of this in Egypt." And then he tells him in Posuk Ches, "V'yodu kol avadecha ele elai." Excuse me, I'm just wondering if this fan is going to affect the sound on the tape. I think cut this down. And he said, "All of your servants will come to me," Moshe told them. "And they will bow down to me. And they will say, Tseyato v'chola oma shebaraglecho. And they will tell you, go, you and the whole nation. And then we will go." And then Moshe walked out from Pare's presence, Bechori off. Yitzhi mean Pare Bechori off. With great anger. When he told Pare, "V'yodu kol avadecha ele alai," that all of your servants will come down, v'yishtachvuli, and bow to me, Rashi brings the Gemara in Zvochim. The Gemara in Zvochim on Daf Kuf Beis states, "Chola kovod lemalchus." Rashi showed respect and honor to the king. Shari b'seif yored Pare, because in the end Pare himself came down, as it states, Pare himself came in the middle of the night. He went to look for Moshe and he said, "Go out." And Moshe should have told him, "And you will come down and bow to me." Instead he showed respect to the king and he said, "All of your servants will come down and bow to me." This is what the Gemara brings in Zvochim. And the Gemara is further in Zvochim states that in Parshas Va'era, in Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, this was at the beginning of the Makos, he said, "Go meet Pare, v'nitzavto likrosei asfasei or." Pari goes to the river in the morning. You be prepared to stand and greet him by the shore of the river. Omresh Lokish Melechu Vihiz Beleponim. Hashem said he's a king, therefore you have to show him respect. And Rashi brings in the Gemara there, Hainu Vinitztaftu Likrosei Lefig Dulosei Hochei Likrosei. He's a king, you go, you stand there, you wait there for him and greet him. So we see here that there's a mitzvah of showing kovod lemalchus, say respect to a king. And this is a chidush here, because Meshu was very angry. He didn't like that Paris told him to get out and don't talk to me anymore, and if I see you again, I'll kill you. He was very, very upset with that. And still, he was so angry, he told Paray, soon what will happen is all of your servants will come down to me and they will bow to me and they will tell us to go. And he didn't say, you yourself also will come and bow to me. The Gemara in Menoches and the Avtzar Ches, the Gemara brings Tanan Hosom, Shar HaMizrach. Incidentally, the Gemara quotes in Zvachim, Omar Abyanai Le'elam Tehe Imes Malchus Olot, that a person must always show respect for the kingdom, and it brings this source. The Gemara in Menoches Dav Tzareches states, Tanan Hosom Shar HaMizrach Olov Shushan Habira Tzura. When you approach the Beis HaMikdosh, and you would approach it on the east side, from the east side. So above the eastern gate, Shushan Habira Tzura, Pirush Rashi Mitzuyeres, there was a great picture of the city of Shushan, which was engraved above the gate. We all know about the city of Shushan, Shushan Habira, the great city of Shushan. That was the capital city of Malchus Poros Umadai, of the Persian Empire. That's where the Purim story takes place with Esther and Mordechai. But the question is, what was that doing on the gate to the Beis HaMikdosh? This is speaking by the second Beis HaMikdosh. My time, what is the reason? Omer of Chizdo, Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi. Mordechai brings two reasons. Chad Omer Kedei Sheyedu Me'echen Bo, in order that the people should remember where they're coming from. Rashi says, "V'yiru mehechen bo v'yitna heidol lemalchus sheitzia mishom." The second Beis HaMikdosh was rebuilt by those that came back from Persia, and this was through the reshus, through the permission which was granted by the king of Persia, Dayovash Achron. Actually, Koresh, Cyrus the Great, originally gave the Jews permission to go back and to rebuild their Beis HaMikdosh. But then Haman and Ahasuerus withdrew that. See, they annulled that permission. But later on, after Ahasuerus, there was another king, Dayovash. He was known as Darius Ahrein. There were two. See. And he again gave them permission. Actually, there's a Medrash that states, in one opinion, that Dayovash Ahrein, this person, was a son of Esther from Ahasuerus. He gave permission for the Jews to go back there to Israel to rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh. So in order that they should always remember which empire gave them this permission to build the Beis HaMikdosh, they built above the eastern gate an engraving of Shushan Habira, of the city of Shushan. Another reason, there's a similar reason, in order to remind them to have respect for the kingdom, because the Persian Empire was still the great empire then. So here again, we see that it seems to be important that a person should have respect for a king. And we see even in extenuating circumstances like Meshu was Parai. Another example, this is even in greater extenuating circumstances, in Parshas Vayeshev, that we learned not too long ago, this was during the break, we have the episode of Yosef and his mistress, Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was a nobleman, and his wife was a noble woman, and they were very rich and powerful. And Yosef was a slave which they owned. And the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshev Bereishis Lamedtes that Ashes Potiphar, this woman, became very, very interested in Yosef, and she tried to entice him. One day they were alone in the house. This is in Pasuk Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Ein ish me anshe abai shom babai bois. There was nobody in the house except them. Batis pesehu bevigdei lemor, and she grabbed hold of his cloak. And Yosef didn't know what to do. So bayaze bigdei biyod avayonas v'yetzachutzo. He left the garment. In other words, he slipped out of his cloak. He left the garment in her hands, and he ran away. The Ramban asks, why did he do that for? Why did he take the garment away from her? Not only that, it could have been, and it proved to be, very dangerous that he left the garment in her hand, in her hands, and he ran out. Because it states right afterwards, Vayhi ki reisa ki osa bigde biyodo, when she saw that he had left the garment in her hands, so then she called her others to the other people and the other servants, and she said, look what this Hebrew had tried to do. Became incriminating evidence against Yosef, which was used to throw him into the dungeon. So why didn't he take the garment from her? So the man says something there which is very, very profound. Actually, this is brought, well, the Ramban says as follows. He says, Lichveid givirtai leirotzela haitziai miyode bekeah hagodl mimenu. Out of the respect, she was his master. So out of the respect for his master, for her, he did not want to pull it away from her with a great keach, with a great strength. He was stronger than her. And therefore, Behesir Eisei Me'olov. So therefore, he just slipped out of his cloak and he left it by her. This is brought, this what we just mentioned now with Yosef, is brought in a sichon, a shmuz, from the late grown Mir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitzel. In Chelek Beis of his Sichos, Maimer Yud Ches, Parshas Mishpatim. What do we see from here? Again, we see that how important or how necessary it is for a person to show respect to someone that is of a higher stature than him, and even under the most extenuating circumstances. Now, What is the reason for all of this? Now the reason for all of this, the simple reason, is because this is Hanhogas Derech Eretz. This is what is known as Derech Eretz. One should show respect to another person, especially to someone of a higher stature than him, a king, a master. Actually, the Vilna Gaon, in his letter to his family, when he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael. It was aborted. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he left over a letter. It became a very famous letter, a letter of instruction for his family. He later was going to bring his family there. So he writes, you must teach the children how to grow up like men, with Derech Eretz. So one of the things he mentions, he says, teach him to speak with great respect l'chol ha-godl b'shonim imenu, to anyone who is older than them. Anyone who's older than they are in years, you must teach them to show special respect. This is what is known as bereheretz, respect. This concept of bereheretz we find further. We find in these parshas gufa. In that further, but last week's parsha, in parshas va'era, perek zayin, pasuk yutes, amen. Possible example, it's per example, possible you test. Now, Yim Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor al Aaron, Kach matko nete yotka al meim Mitzrayim. Speak to Aaron that he should take the staff and he should stretch his hand over Mitzrayim, al Nareisam, al Yereyam, al Agmeham, over all of the rivers and the lakes and the waters of Mitzrayim, Biyudam. And it will become dam, it will become blood. This was the first plague. Now notice it states, Emor al Aaron. Hashem said to Moshe, say to Aaron. Why Aaron? Why not Moshe? Rashi brings, Lefi shehegin ayor al Moshe, kishinishlach leseiche, lefichach leilok al yodei lebedam, velei bitzfadiim, velok ayde Aaron. That the first two plagues were executed through Aaron, because the water, the river, protected Moshe. When Moshe was put into the after he was born, and there was a decree that every son should be put to death, so Moshe was concealed in the river. The river saved his life. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Moshe to smite the river, and therefore, in the first two plagues, Aaron did it when he turned the water into blood, and when he brought forth from the water an extraordinary amount of frogs. This is one place. Then in the mocker of this, the source of this for Rashi is a Medrash Rabbah here. Now a little further in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, Emor al Aaron, Neteyas Matcho, Vahaches Afar Oretz. In the third plague, Hashem said to Moshe, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand and smite the dust of the earth. Vayele Kinim b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And it will become Kinim, lice. There again it was said to Aaron. And Rashi brings, Lohoya ofer kedai lukes al yidei Moshe. It was not right that the offer, the dust of the land, should be smitten through Moshe. Because the land, the dust and the sand protected Moshe when he killed the Egyptian. When he went out and he saw what the Egyptian was doing till he was beating Israel. So he went and he killed him and he buried him in the sand. And therefore, it protected Moshe. Therefore, it was not right that it should be smitten by him. Therefore, the locally de Aaron, it was smitten through Aaron. Now, we see that even though Moshe was supposed to execute the plagues, and he did, he was the one who executed the last seven, but in the first three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made exceptions, and he said, "Emol Aaron, let Aaron do it." Now, here we see. What is the reason here? Rashi tells us because it was not derecheres, it was not hakoras hatov. When you have pleasure from something, then you should treat it with respect. You certainly shouldn't be disrespectful to it. You certainly shouldn't be destructive towards it. That's Mishali Bara Tachas Teva. Something does good for you, and you do bad for it in return. The Maral in the Guraya here, he brings a Gemara. He says, L'lamdecho derech eretz. This is to teach us derech eretz. Proper conduct. He quotes a Gemara, which is in Baba Kama, I believe. Bira de shosis minei, I'll teach de beikala. A well of water that has served you well and you don't need it anymore, don't throw stones and sand into it. Lefichoch ein roi liyes nilka al yodai, he writes. Therefore, since the river served you well, it served Maisha well, it saved his life twice. It saved his life when he was thrown into it, when he was put into it, and it concealed him from the Egyptians. You must treat it well. You certainly must not be destructive towards it. Therefore, you cannot smite it in order that it should become blood, or in order that it should all of a sudden start to bring out all types of reptiles. And the same thing with the sand, it treated you well. Even though we're speaking here of something which is inanimate, it treated you well. It saved your life. You were able to conceal the Egyptian there. Therefore, you shouldn't smite it. So Aram, it was given to Aram. A comment which is made on this, which we just mentioned. By Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, but in a different maimer, in a different shmuz. See, that's in maimer lamed beis. But firstly, we see here that this was Moka mitzvah. This was a mitzvah. It was the greatest mitzvah to smite the river and to smite the earth. Because through this mitzvah, it was forcing Parai to relinquish his grip on Klal Yisrael and let them go out. And could there have been a greater mitzvah than to let Klal Yisrael go out? They were becoming a nation. They were becoming Yisrael. They were going to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. So this was B'mokum mitzvah. This was a great mitzvah. But a comment which is made by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz here is that we must say that the river and the earth was guilty of this punishment to be smitten for whatever reason there might be. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring punishment on anything if it's not deserved. He doesn't go around destroying things if they're not deserving of being destroyed. So we see that they must have been deserving of this, and still Maisha was not allowed to do it. But he told Aaron. So here again we see this Hanhogas Derech Eretz. Proper conduct, showing of respect, showing of appreciation, not to return an evil for the good. And we see it even where there's a great mitzvah. Now, what is the purpose of this? This that we call Derech Eretz. The Maral brings in his Nesiv Derech Eretz. And he explains this as follows. He says that there is what is known as Chochma HaTachteino and Chochma HaElyeino. A wisdom a lower level of wisdom and a higher level of wisdom. There's a seichel hatachtoina, a lower level of intelligence, and a seichel helyona, a higher level of intelligence. The way of the land, derech eretz means the way of the land. It means how one should conduct himself from the fact that he lives in a yishuv, he lives in society, he's a member of society, and he deals with society. The way that guides a person how to conduct himself in this situation is chokhma tachtona. That's the wisdom of this world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he created a wisdom at the level of this world. And he imbued in the person a seichel hatachtona, an intelligence of this world. And he gave that to man. And when did he give it to man? He gave it to man immediately when he created him. The Gemara darshins, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told man in the story with Adam and Chava, derech etz chaim, derech zu derech eretz. He gave man derech eretz. And he gave this to all of the nations of the world. It's not exclusive to any nation, to any people. And this is a wisdom which he created as part and parcel of this world. And therefore, ein levatel zeh. We cannot do away with it. It dictates to a man how one should conduct himself and act on this world. Many times we say what is known as, could be known as common sense. Sometimes it's referred to as plain horse sense. See, in other words, this is the intelligence that a normal human being has. Well, this has to do with the level of derech eretz. Now, again, this is called chokhma hatachtena and the seichel hatachtena. The lower level of wisdom and the lower level of intelligence. Now we have another level. Chokhma elyena. A wisdom which is a very, very high level. This is Torah and Mitzvahs. Torah and Mitzvahs do not come from this world. Torah and Mitzvahs, the sages tell us, were not created in the Maase Bereishis, in the 7 days of creation. They were Kodma Esa Olam. They were created long before the world was created. And they come from a much higher level. Chochma ha'elyeno and seichel ha'elyeno. It's a higher level of wisdom and a higher level of intelligence to understand that wisdom. Torah was not given at the creation of the world. Merely 6 mitzvahs were given to the first man. Another mitzvah was added to Noach. That's the only Torah they were given. The Torah in its fullness was given 26 generations after the creation of the world. The generations of Moshe. There were 20 generations from Adam to Abraham, and there was another 6 generations to Moshe. And even when it was given, it was given exclusively to Israel. Notwithstanding, outside of the 7 mitzvahs that were given to the whole world, the rest of the Torah was given only to Israel. This is what is meant when the sages tell us, derech eretz kodma l'dheira chof vav deirish. The wisdom of Derech Eretz was given to the world 26 generations before the wisdom of Torah. And the sages tell us that one must learn Derech Eretz before the wisdom of the Torah. Why? Very simply. Because how can one come to a Chochmah Elyeno, to a higher level of wisdom, without the fundamental lower level of wisdom? That's why first the wisdom of Derech Eretz was given to the world, and only later, when the world was able to come to a higher level, was the wisdom of Torah given. This is why when you teach a child, you don't first teach him, you don't start with him with a Mishnah and Baba Kama. You teach a child, you first teach him how to say a word. You teach him how to drink a bottle. You teach him how to stand. You teach him how to crawl, how to stand, how to walk, how to run, how to use his hands, how to feed himself, how to keep himself clean, and so on and so on. That's all Chochmas Derech Eretz. Later, when he comes to a higher level, then you can start teaching him Baba Kama, the Chochmah Elyeinah. And this is why the sages tell us that Im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah. If someone has no Derech Eretz, then you can't have Torah. How can one come to Torah if Torah is the higher level of wisdom which has to be built on the lower level of wisdom? There are many places where the sages say that mitzvahs, if specific mitzvahs were not given, we would have written them ourselves. Not in all mitzvahs. There are many mitzvahs that we could have never written ourselves because we couldn't think of them. Those are what is known as chukim, the statutes. But it says on the Mishpatim that had Ilalei Nitnu, if they were not given, we would have written them on our own. Man would have written them on our own. Or, for example, there's a Gemara that says, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Masechta Yuma, it states that there are mitzvahs that we could have learned from animals. We could have learned not to steal if we would have watched the ant, how careful he is not to steal from anyone else. Snius minachasul. We could learn modesty from the cat. This is all because the Seichel HaTachtoin also dictates these hanhogos, this conduct. This is why we find that the nations of the world, they keep many mitzvahs that they're not commanded in. Mitzat Seichel HaTachtoin. For example, the Gemara says, not only was it and is it common for the nations of the world to keep the mitzvah of Kibbur Aveim, of honoring one's parents, that's not one of the mitzvahs, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs. Not only is it common for them to keep it, but in many cases they keep it even better than Yisrael. Because the Seichel Anushi, the common sense dictates it. But the Gemara, and this is very important, the Gemara doesn't mean, I mean, then we could ask, so what do we need the Torah for these mitzvahs? We could have learned it from animals. When the Torah was given to Israel, and these were made into mitzvahs, these became elevated with enormous Seichel HaElyon to the point where now they are not only the dictates of the Seichel Anushi, of human intellect, okay, but they're packed with intellect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is why in one mitzvah we could have a million halachos. Understand? We honor our parents, and the nations of the world, the goyim honor their parents. But we could have volumes, see, volumes of Gemara, in the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch and the halachas on how to honor your parents, well, they have one halacha. The same thing we could have learned, not to steal from the ant, but we wouldn't have been able to write above a common, above a sea, and above a basra. See? Then was nitin terev in iskatsha halacha, and was given to us leisignov, that you shouldn't steal, but with a million halachas in leisignov, which was built on the seichel anushi, which was built on the seichel atachton. It becomes full of seichel elyon. Also, this is a very important fact. Heaven forbid, the sages didn't mean that what do we need mishpatim for? We would have written it ourselves. No human being could have ever written Torah, because Torah doesn't come from this world. It comes from another world. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it means the actual hanhogo, the conduct that we would have written. See? And that's why we find many people, civilized people, they keep many things which are mitzvahs to us, even though they weren't given the mitzvahs. But that's all from the level of the Seichel HaTachton. When Torah was given, then it became full of Seichel HaElyon, of the unlimited intelligence and wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, therefore, Derech Eretz is something which is non-negotiable. It's decreed by the physical world that we live in. Except one can rise higher, but he cannot replace it. That's why the Gemara brings, the Gemara in Kedushin brings, Kol mi shein lei derech eretz, ena min hayishuv. Someone who does not have proper conduct is ena min hayishuv. He's considered someone who is not from civilization, uncivilized person. Because the derech eretz is the law which guides a person how to be a member of society. And the states of Apostle Eidus, even if he knows much Torah, Apostle Eidus is disqualified for giving witness. You cannot accept his testimony. The Maral explains, why can't you accept his testimony? Because to testify is to relate what actually took place in the world, in society. This is the testimony. We want to know what took place, so we call witnesses. So to tell us what dealings went on in society. But if this person is not a member of society, he doesn't belong here, so what, his testimony is worthless. Actually, what we're saying, we can explain a kasha, which we had also, this was during the break in Parshas Vayishuv. It was right before the break. It's a question they ask. The question is in the Ramban. When the wife of Potiphar came to Yosef, trying to entice him, so Yosef said, this is in Posuk Ches, Periklamates Posuk Ches. Vayimoein vayomer aleishus adonov. He refused. He refused the advances. And he said to the wife of his master, Hein adoni loyoda iti baba voice. He says, my master, he doesn't know at all what's going on in the house. He's entrusted me with all of his possessions. He has given me such power in the house, and such office in the house, and such stature in the house, where all of his possessions he doesn't even know anything about. He's entrusted me with them. This is how he believes in me. This is how he trusts me. Einena godel babayis hazeh mimeni. And he has elevated me to be the chief of the whole house. There's no one in his whole household. He was a nobleman. No one in his whole household that is as great as me. Velechosach mimeni mu'uma. And he has withheld nothing from me. Kim osach v'asherat ishtoi. Only you, because you are his wife. And therefore, how can I do this evil to him? Bechotosi lelekim, and to sin to Hashem. Rashi says, what does it mean, bechotosi lelekim, to sin to Hashem? B'neinayach nitztabu l'ararais. Because one of the mitzvahs that were given to the children of Noah was adultery. That's one of the seven mitzvahs. So therefore I will sin to Hashem. How can I sin to Hashem? So what is he saying? He's actually saying two things. He's saying, firstly, he says, I cannot do this act because it's a betrayal to your husband. How can I betray your husband? He's my master. See, he has entrusted me with everything to the point where he doesn't know at all what's going on in the house. He's given me power over all of his possessions. He has raised me up higher than anyone else in the house. And therefore, how can I do this evil to him? After all of the goodness he's done to me, how can I do this evil to him? So that was the first reason Yosef said that I cannot do this. And then the second reason, Mechotosi Lelakim, I'm going to sin to Hashem. Because in the mitzvah that we have, it states you shouldn't commit adultery. The question is asked, if you come into a frumah person, a religious person, what does he need all kind of explanations for? It's against the law of the Torah, finished. Vechotosi lelekim. I can't do it because the Torah says not like that. The Torah says that I'm not allowed to commit adultery. And this much of the Torah was given to the Bnei Nayach, were given to the children of Nayach. Like Rashi says, Nitztabu al arayis. So what is he? He gives a whole, he starts with a whole explanation of reasons why he cannot do it, because it wouldn't be just, it wouldn't be fair to your husband after all he's done for me. And then he says, and another reason is sinning to Hashem. Firstly, what do we need the first reason for? Secondly, at least even if we have the first reason, should say the second reason first. What we've explained is very good. See, there are two reasons why you can't do this. First of all, mitzad, from the aspect of chokmas derech eretz, from the aspect of the wisdom of this world, decrees you can't do such a thing. And secondly, the wisdom of the higher wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world decrees you cannot do such a thing. Okay. First of all, I can't do it. And this is how you pay someone back. See, someone takes you in and he's given you such office and such stature. He's made almost a prince out of you. He says, I'm in command of this great estate here. And everything he trusts me. He's put his whole trust in me. And he's given so much. So this is what I'm going to do, is stab him in the back. When he's not learning, looking, I'll go take his wife. How can I do such evil to him? This we don't need Torah for. This, anyone with intelligence, with the intelligence that was imbued in him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understands this. Second reason is a different reason already. That's Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that one is not allowed to commit adultery. That's a mitzvah. What comes first? Unfortunately, many people think the mitzvah comes first, and then the other reason. Now, if there is a logical reason why one should not do this, that's the first reason. The Torah are greater dimensions in that act, but not the basic dimension. You cannot come to greater dimensions without first having the basic dimension. Only after you understand and you practice basic dimensions, then can you come to greater dimensions. Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah. This is why Derech Eretz was given to the world 26 generations before Torah was given. So that's what Yosef told her. Now, from this we can understand why we find that, what happens if we find a situation where you have a conflict between the Derech Eretz and the Mitzvah. The Derech Eretz, the Chochmah Tachteina, the wisdom, the Seichel, the human intellect, decrees one way, and the Mitzvah decrees the other way. Now, when we're speaking of human intellect, we're not talking here of philosophy or atheism, see? We're talking the sense of right and wrong that was imbued in people. This that we say is the common sense that was given to people. What happens if it comes out that from the aspect of Derech Eretz you should do one way, but the aspect of the Mitzvah you should do just the opposite? The answer is, there cannot be a situation like that. There cannot. Because Mitzvah is, the Maral writes in a place, Torah and Mitzvah is the Seder. It's the perfect order of the entire universe, of this world and the upper worlds. If Derech Eretz is dictating the order of this world, and Torah is dictating the perfect order of the entire universe, how can they conflict? If they do conflict, something is drastically wrong. And if you come across where a mitzvah is conflicting with a Derech Eretz, either the Derech Eretz is wrong, or the mitzvah is wrong. You can't have both. You can't have a Derech Eretz, which is the wisdom which HaKadosh Baruch Hu set, which guides the order of this world. And then he has Torah, which guides the order of the entire universe, and they conflict with each other. This is our case here. It was the greatest mitzvah for Moshe, for the plagues to be executed. It was the greatest mitzvah for the river to be smitten and for the earth to be smitten, like we explained, through this Paro will relinquish. He will capitulate. And Klal Yisrael will go to Har Sinai. And they must have been worthy of this, the earth and the river. It was the greatest mitzvah. But it was conflicting with the Derech Eretz of being Meshalim Ro Tachas Teva. Through this mitzvah, you would have to give evil to something that did good to you. Then there cannot be such a mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu altered the mitzvah. He said, no, this is for Moshe, this is not a mitzvah. For Moshe, this is no longer a mitzvah. Because this is a breach of Derech Eretz and a breach of Derech. There can't be a mitzvah and a breach of Derech Eretz. He says, for Aaron, it's a mitzvah. Emor al Aaron, go and say to Aaron. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings that in Parshas Matos, the Parshas Matos is speaking right after Parshas Pinchas, where the Midianites, this is the whole story with Balak and with Bilam. They sent in their daughters to try to entice the Bnei Israel to acts of immorality and Avodah Zarah, idolatry. And they caused a tremendous churban. They caused the Holocaust in the Bnei Israel. So in Parshas Matos, Excuse me, it's not Matthias. No, one minute, it is. It is. Beginning of Parshas Matos, Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, say, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'eis Abijonim. Go and take revenge on behalf of Israel from the Midjonim that they did this. Achar Te'osev El Amecho, and then it will be time for you to die, and you will be gathered up to your nation. In Posuk Vov, it states, Vayishlach Esom Meisha, the Meisha went, he got a lozer, and Vayishlach Esom Meisha, Vayishlach Meisha Meisha, Elef Lamate Latzova, Esom Ves Pinchas Ben Alozer Akain Latzova. Meisha went and he instructed Pinchas, and he said, go lead the army to take revenge. The Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Meisha, and he went and instructed Pinchas. This is a great mitzvah, the mitzvah of Nekoma. This was a nation that underhandedly try to bring you down. Balak went and he hired Bilam to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Bilam said, you can't destroy them with curses because keep boruchim, because they're blessed. There's another way you can destroy them though. Get them to do sin. That'll destroy them. And I will give you a good answer. I'll give you advice how to get them to do sin. Send in your beautiful daughters and let them entice them to Aveira, and let them carry idolatry with them. And once they do this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them. And this happened. And there were tens of thousands that were destroyed because of this. So this was a mitzvah rabba, a great mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nekom Nikmas Minyan, Nekom Nikmas B'nai Yisrael. Take revenge on behalf of Yisrael, go and destroy Minyan. And he told it to Moshe. The Medrash comes along and says, Oma Lemesha, Umesha, Oma Lepinchas. He told Mesha, and Mesha went and he told Pinchas, you lead them. Was Mesha afraid? Mesha prided himself that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to go to war, I went in front. Og Melech HaBoshon, when we came to Og, the great giant, I fought with him myself. See, I wasn't afraid. So what happened? So it states, the Medrash Yalkut states, Nefishin is Gadol Moshe B'Midyon. Moshe was saved by the nation of Midyon. Earlier, much earlier, when? After he killed the Egyptian, and Pare found out, and Pare wanted to kill him, so he ran away, he ran to Midyon. And that's where he took refuge. He went into the house of Yisro, he married Zipporah, and he was there for many, many years. So he was a refugee in Midyan. That nation protected him. Moshe said, Ein Abedin, it is not right that Nilka al-Yodai, that they should be destroyed by my hands. Pinchas, you go destroy it. So B'chaim Shemulevitz asked the Kasha, where did Moshe learn this from? Who told him? Here he's been mevatel a mitzvah rabba because of a derech eretz. He says, because it's not right. It's not right. It doesn't look good. It's not right. Someone did you good. You should hear. So he annuls the whole mitzvah rabba and he goes tell someone else to do it. He says he learned this from the Makkos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he said, you do all the makas, except the first three you tell Aaron to do. See? There was a mitzvah rabba, a great mitzvah, but because it was not derech eretz, we see that derech eretz was decha, the mitzvah. That the derech eretz pushed the mitzvah aside, and it became Aaron's. See, he learned this also from him. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have meant when he told me that I should be responsible to see that it's done, but not that I myself must do it. That can't be. Because how can you perform a mitzvah when the mitzvah is giving evil to someone that did good for me? This is a breach of the chokhmas derech eretz. And how can the mitzvah, according to the explanation of the Maral, how can a mitzvah, which is the perfect order of the entire universe, be contrary to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created as the perfect order of this world? Therefore, he must have meant, I should see that it's done, but you do it through someone else. Actually, we have a Mesillas Yeshorim on this. The Meishu Chaim Letzate, the Mesillas Yeshorim, brings this in his Mishkol HaChassidus, Perechof. He writes, what is Chassidus? Chassidus is to fill a mitzvah in its totality, in its greatest fullness. See, that's Chassidus. Example, the Giftstocker is a wonderful mitzvah. To give it an open hand, generously, with a smile, and compliment the person, and so forth and so on. Anything you can add to that, that's Chassidus. That's fulfilling a mitzvah with Chassidus. So he writes, you've got to be very careful though, with Mishkol HaChassidus, how to weigh it. Because not every time, everything that to us looks like Chassidus is necessary Chassidus. And he says, unfortunately, he says, many have distorted this whole concept. And he says, a cloud, the principle, if you want to know what Chassidus is, he says, you must not look at the act now. You must look at the long-range ramifications of the act. If the long-range ramifications of the act are good, then it's a Chassidus. But if you do something that looks good now, but the long-range ramifications are not good, no, he says, then the Chassidus is lifresh, not to do it. That's Chassidus, not to do it. Now, he gives many, many examples, but not necessarily he gives examples, but not many examples. He gives different cases, different types of times, different reasons. We've touched on this before. We can't go into this now, but we just want to take from here what's relevant to us. He says, for one of the things he mentions, he says, "Poshut shorei lechol odom liyos magdim v'rotz lidvar mitzvah." Everyone understands that it is a chassidus not only to do a mitzvah, but to try to get the mitzvah, to acquire it, to run after it, to be those who take part in it. In other words, if you have an opportunity, to take the opportunity to have a chelek, a portion in the mitzvah. He says, sometimes though, if we're being aggressive to try to take the opportunity to have a chelek in the mitzvah, sometimes the long-range ramification can be dangerous. Because sometimes from there can come out a machlekes, or sometimes from there can come out a bizui mitzvah, where you disgrace the mitzvah, and a chilul Hashem instead of a kovod shemayim, where you disgrace the name of Hashem instead of honoring the name of Hashem. He gives an example. When it came to carrying the Kli HaMishkon, that which belonged in the sanctuary, everyone knew, all the Levim knew, that the greatest mitzvah was to carry the Oren. That was a greater mitzvah than carrying the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach. Mizbochas, than carrying the other objects of the Mishkan, the holy objects. Because of that, it happened that many times they would all run to try to get a hold of the Urim, and the other objects would be left with no one to carry it. And sometimes they would get in squabbles and they would get in fights, and sometimes because of that there would be disgusting behavior. And the Gemara relates where the Shekhinah was pogabo. Kodesh Baruch Hu took them to task for that. Now here you have something which looked like a chosid. What's a chosid? Someone who runs to the mitzvah. See? First one runs to the mitzvah. But if by running to the mitzvah it becomes a breach of their heretz, it creates disgusting behavior. Or you might step. Sometimes you go to a chasna. You go to a chasna and everybody is asik in the great mitzvah of Simchas Chosin Mekala. And you're standing there, or someone's, there's an old man standing next to you, and all of a sudden some guy gives him a zetz that knocks him almost across the room. Harizah Chosid. He's totally involved in the mitzvah. I remember never, I was once standing next to Rabbi Loy, and someone gave him such a shove. Okay. No seichel. This is what he's speaking about. So there he says, the chassidus is lifresh. In such a situation where you see the real chassidim, in such a situation, they would leave the oren and they would go carry to shulchan. The real chassidim, he says, because they saw what's going to happen. Everybody's running for the Orem, and it becomes a Chil Hashem, not a Kiddush Hashem. And at the same time, nobody's carrying the Shulchan, which becomes a Chil Hashem and not a Kiddush Hashem. The real Chosid would be Perish, and he would go carry the Shulchan. They bring the case of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Yichrein of Rocha. He came into a Beis HaMedrash once, and he had Yortzeit. And he came in to daven and to say Kaddish. And he saw that there was a person who was very bent on davening. I guess maybe he had a Yortzeit also or something, but he was very bent on davening. And the Rav of the Beis HaMedrash told Rabbi Yisrael, "You have Yortzeit, go to Domet." So he told, "No, I don't have Yortzeit tonight." See? "I don't have Yortzeit tonight." Because he saw that take it away from the other person, it's going to get him all upset. No, this is Kreit Shemayim. This is Hasidus. Yisrael was a Chosid. This was the Hasidus. To be Perish. He didn't go to them. Let the other person down. He says, "No, I don't have." So here is the same thing. He elaborates on this in all different scenarios and with all different reasons. But therefore from here we learn, firstly, what is Chochmas Derech Eretz? Secondly, what is Chochmas HaTorah? Thirdly, they cannot be contradicting. Just like two mitzvahs in the Torah cannot be contradicting. The Chochmas Derech Eretz and the Chochmas HaMitzvahs cannot be contradicting. If they are in conflict, it means either we're not understanding the Derech Eretz properly or we're not understanding the mitzvah properly. See? But it's impossible for them to be contradicting. And this is what we see from these sources which we cited this evening in this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.